The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
City Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. He's always in the upper left. It's Professor Dave Chow.
Oh, pleasure to be here. Sorry, I was expecting Jim. That's all. He's in my upper left.
You and Jim kind of trade off in that slot. This isn't like Hollywood Squares or the Brady Bunch or anything, you know?
Yeah, I'm in the Rosemarie seat right about now, aren't I?
You know, I was just going to say who's... I was just going to Google that.
How are things going, Dave?
Not too bad. A little crazed, a little nutty. Just got done doing a bunch of ads for Michigan mental health, and it was ironic. Drove me kind of crazy.
There's always some sort of double standard going on.
I'm like, what are you guys doing? I'm like,
can we get these done yesterday?
Yes, they think they have a time machine.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, hopefully they'll give you free mental health services in exchange for your artistic services rendered.
Not enough.
Ah, okay.
I can ask for the lobotomy and that's about it, I think.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I will not take the last noun and go. And speaking of lobotomy, it's Professor Jim Tubbs. I'll say, hi, Jim. How's it going?
Well, I haven't been lobotomized yet today, but the day is still young.
How do you know, though, Jim?
Well, that's true. That's a good point, Beth. That is a good point. I don't know that yesterday happened, frankly.
I've waited all week, Jim, to ask. Because I was so surprised by I've mentioned before how my wife, Leslie, actually flew to England to be there for Will and Kate's wedding. She was not interested at all in watching Prince Philip's funeral. Did you watch?
Yes, I did. Love the music, too. Yeah. I thought it was very fitting for him. Of course, he planned it, so I guess it should be. But, you know, there was no eulogy, no sermon. But the music was really, really nice, even though they only had four singers.
Yep.
It was weird to be watching The Crown right when he died.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
Of course, my favorite part was seeing Harry and Will and Kate walking out and chatting together after the service.
I read that Kate was the
instigator. Yeah. She started talking to Harry first, and then she got William talking to him, and then she stepped back and let them, you know, walk ahead.
Nice. Very nice.
Women always doing the kinship work.
Well,
maintaining family.
Glad somebody is.
In that family, especially because they need it. Yeah.
So it sounds, Professor Beth Oljar, like you watched as well.
I watched some of it. Although, speaking of Will and Kate's wedding, have you seen their kids? Are they like right out of central casting or what? I'm not kidding you. They're all Spencer and Middleton. There doesn't seem to be any Windsor in any of them, which is a good thing.
Yes.
But they're all so adorable. It looks like they literally got them from some rent-a-model kid.
Stock photo.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
I mean, one of them had a birthday this week, right, Beth? So they had a picture taken riding a bicycle. And I'm like, yeah, that looks like the cover of a catalog right there. Like, seriously.
Maybe they had them manufactured.
You know, they could afford it, is all I'm going to say. They could afford it. And that, of course, is the dystopian musings of Professor Heather Hill.
Hello.
How's it going, Heather?
Yeah, I'm okay. I've had a couple of fall downs, which is making me think I'm turning into a little old lady.
Oh, no. That's not good.
Oh, she's dumb.
Just be careful.
Well, my explanation is that I'm so entrenched in my book project that I'm too cerebral. And so I'm just like...
She's hanging out in Plato's head. You know.
Yeah, I was just outside planting some of my seedlings.
Nice.
Bigger pots. So, yeah.
She's been living the life of the puppy.
Yes.
Yeah, the puppy is actually... I'll not take up too much more time right now. The puppy right now is at the vet's recovering from what the vet likes to call... what does he call it?
Happy Juice.
Happy Juice, yes, because he needed to go under so they could check out his back legs.
Oh, okay. All right. That's nothing wrong with that.
What kind of puppy?
Husky.
Nice.
It's not really a puppy. He's six. Stephen and I adopted a
acts eight. Like a puppy.
And 75 pounds.
Which yeah.
He's pulling the car in winter, that's all.
Yeah, that's
right. The big pup. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So, how are things in Hipsterville, Professor Dan Maggio?
Dan.
Oh, great. I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking.
The world of Lego First is good?
Yeah, it's very busy. You know, hopefully getting back to a little more normal season coming up.
Sure.
I was going to comment before Beth brought it up. I'm also watching The Crown. And what a sometimes miserable life they had. I mean, just watching. I'm just starting to watch when Diana comes into the picture. How depressing.
I know.
Yeah. Depressing. So I'm wondering how accurate. I'm assuming it's accurate. Some of that, you know, would not have been known publicly, I would guess. So I don't know if it's all supposition. But
conjecture.
It's yeah. really.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that marriage was doomed from the start.
Mm.
I mean, she was young for her age and he was old for his. I mean, they just didn't really have a whole lot in common.
They didn't.
And then he was in love with someone else. So
yeah. And there was no there was that. To speak of either.
Yeah.
No you know, Dan.
Huh?
No small detail. The fact that he was in. He
exactly.
Was
right. Yeah. What's her name? Just a little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The extrapolation of your comment, Dan, is even though Leslie didn't watch the funeral, we did see the images afterwards, right? There's something about that static image of the queen sitting all alone in those little, you know, pews or whatever. And Leslie's observation is that the queen will be gone in just a couple years because there's only so much mental work you can do when you don't have your partner by your side. And that made me kind of sad to think.
Yeah.
About.
She just had her 95th birthday, didn't she?
They That's were right. married for 74 years.
Incredible. Yep. Incredible.
But your folks too, Jim.
70.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Anything above 50 is Oscar worthy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Besides, you know, like I remember like Marcy's grandparents made it to 67. We're like, what do you get somebody for 67? You know, it's like after 50, it's kind of like, what, you get them like retirement home? Catheters? Or what? I mean,
no, it's true.
Burial plots.
Medical supplies. Yeah. Mostly. Rounding out our roundabout is Professor Stephen Manning, who is so busy that he just doesn't know what to do with himself.
No time to myself.
you're like James Brown of the university, aren't you?
I have some papers on the allegory of the cave that you can grade.
Pro bono.
We stopped watching The Crown the fourth year about within a week of the guy's death. So I was a little confused because when my first reaction was, well, he's a little young to be dead. Right? When I was told he was 99, I said, oh, I thought he was about 50 or 55 or something. Of course,
well,
reality with the thing. But you're right about the family. Nasty, the way they treated Diana, just terrible.
I mean, they're
walk into a room and they'd ignore her.
They're clearly kind of emotionally impoverished.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
The queen is like elevated duty over sort of normal human interaction because she didn't have any choice, and that's what she thought she had to do.
Walk two steps behind her and support that. So
I think the firm that Philip used to always talk about, though, is not just the family. It's a whole structure of things they cannot break out of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is completely self-perpetuating.
Yep.
Well, it makes me want to make a segue here because this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. It's been a while since we've had a good bubbling pot of Royals questions.
If yeah, you send our us panel, questions about the crowd. About
yeah, them. Send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking you to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. So here we go back once more into the breach, professors. Welcome to part 7 of my continuing saga. I hope you enjoy yourselves because you're about to be hit in the face. Wow. With a set of 20 questions, some may be easy, certain others are much more challenging. And as with my last six sets, you'll be faced with queries from a smorgasbord of topics. Oh, yes, and the number seven is my personal favorite. Professors, you're such brave souls to take me on, because each time I challenge you, you may never know what lies ahead. Best of wishes, Natalie Bohe, Detroit Mercy 2011 alumna from Sterling Heights, Michigan. And away we go. Speaking of the Royals, although a little bit further back than the current regime, apparently it's highly historically documented that Queen Victoria had a deep-seated fear, a phobia, if you will. What was it?
Fear of open carriages?
Airplanes.
I didn't catch Stephen.
Empathy.
Smiling.
Being positive about anything. No.
Wearing white.
No, I think that I can tell you what the phobia was, and you may still even have a little bit of difficulty figuring out what she was afraid of. It's referred to from the Greek as episcopophobia.
Fear of church?
Very, very close. Very close. A specific part of the church.
A fear of bishops?
It's a fear of bishops. A fear of bishops. Since she was a child, Victoria had an irrational fear of them based on the wigs or mitres they wore upon their head. Yes.
Mm. Do you think that would extend to chess?
Yeah, there's two pieces that just never move off the board, you know? I mean,
so I bet her meetings with the archbishops of Canterbury and York were interesting.
Seriously.
Probably from a distance, yeah.
Well,
there have been some scary bishops.
The queen can move in any direction. So as long as she stays like rank and file and didn't go on the diagonal, I think that everything would be fine. There are six types of this beautiful mineral. Three of them are called emerald, morganite, and aquamarine. What is the mineral?
Turquoise?
Mm-mm.
Topaz?
Nope, it starts with the letter B, as in boy.
Bauxite.
Oh. No, but that's a good guess.
Beryllium.
Barium. It's
pretty dang close, Jim. Now, beryllium is an element that primarily makes up the mineral we call beryl, is what it's called, beryl.
So, oh, beryl, okay.
Yep. And I just love, here are three of the six, not telling you what the other three are, so we'll figure that out later, yeah. This type of pasta takes its name from the Italian word that means twins. What is it?
Oh.
Come on, Dan. This is in your wheelhouse, isn't it?
I've eaten enough pasta.
Yeah.
The trick or the side note here twins. Is the word are not referred to because they are twin tubes twisted around each other, but rather a single tube that makes a turn and twists around itself.
Elbows?
Mm-mm. Not have a top, no.
Starts with the letter G, if that helps.
Gemelli?
Yeah, it's Gemelli. Yeah. Yes, Gemelli.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was. Would that have the same root as in Gemini? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gemini, exactly.
I never knew that.
Very good.
Like Gemini.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the seven professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
And we've got questions from Natalie Bohe from Sterling Heights, Michigan. In the 1992 film The Bodyguard, may have been panned by film critics, but its soundtrack is very well known, even to this day, particularly with songs by Whitney Houston, who starred in the film. One of its tracks was a collaboration between Aaron Neville and Kenny G. Do you remember the name of the song?
There's really only one song from that movie that anybody
remembers.
That's pretty true there. Pretty true.
I actually thought she was better in that movie than I expected her to be, actually.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that bad.
Better than Kevin Costner. I was like, oh, that's not that hard.
Yeah, I was going to say, the furniture was too.
I can't help.
What was the question again?
We'll try again. So everybody remembers the Whitney Houston, Heather, part of the Bodyguard soundtrack. But there was a track on the soundtrack that was a collaboration between Aaron Neville and Kenny G. Do you remember the name of the song? It was of mild popularity. It's not completely obscure.
I think the one I'm thinking of is from The Secret of NIMH or Fievel or something like that.
Not Tell It Like It Is. That's way too...
No, it says here the title of the track is Even If My Heart Would Break. I'm getting just little bits and pieces of the chorus in my head, but yeah. It looks like we've jumped over the moon on this. Okay, how about this one? There are 550 species of just swallowtail butterflies, but the eastern swallowtail feeds on this plant as its main host. What is the plant?
Milkweed?
Nope, but it is something that's quite common to where we live as well. It's a large splay of white flowers at the end of a long green stem.
Lilies?
Nope.
Come on, Heather.
Heather, I'm afraid you would probably refer to this as a weed.
It's the stuff that grows on the side of the highway.
Yes, but what is it called?
Ragweed?
Queen Anne's wort? I mean, Queen Anne's lace?
Queen Anne's lace. That's right, Queen Anne's lace. Yeah, those butterflies love it. It's like McDonald's to them.
That's pretty serious, too.
I like your supersize, please.
There's a butterfly bush that they like, too. We had one in our yard in the mountains.
I think I might have mentioned this a long time ago, Jim. I was gifted one of those as a sapling and let it grow over one season in my backyard. And it was like magic. Like we were just in the kids were little, so they thought it was magical. Oh, butterflies. Well, I cut the son of a gun all the way back because I thought it was that kind of a plant. It isn't. It never came back. The end. It was very woody. And I was like, I should trim this up. And
get purple flowers.
Something like that. Magenta, purple. Try this one on for size. In the early 2000s, this composer-singer donated money to help a toddler boy get a much-needed heart operation. Who was that? And give you the hint that it's a very, very famous, especially from the 90s, Irish composer and performer.
Bono?
No, it wasn't Bono.
Irish.
Sinead?
Not Sinead O'Connor.
Irish composer.
We're running out of possibilities.
Is it from the Chieftains?
Nope, wasn't Chieftains. Nope.
Irish composer, would that be more
like a David Foster?
Classical music, or is this pop music?
I wouldn't call it either. She was very, at the time, we had a category at the CD store that was called New Age, and she fit squarely.
Anya?
It was Enya. Yeah.
Enya, sorry.
Enya donated some proceeds to give a little kid a heart transplant. That's kind of a big deal.
Good for her.
Yeah. Okay. According to this question, what was the magnitude of the largest library fine ever levied in the United States of America? Here's a hint. It's probably not as big as you think, because it's according to this question.
Was it George Costanza involved in this at all?
Tropic of Cancer.
Your Bookman.
What do you think?
$100,000.
It's quite a bit less than that.
$12,500.
It's quite a bit less than that.
Really? Less than 35 cents.
$167.
Everybody gets so precise. It says here it's only $345.14.
No, it was the book.
So precise, you know? It seems so precise.
What was the book?
It does not say. That would be great to know.
Yeah, the Gutenberg Bible. Oh,
I wonder how many times the price of the book that fine was.
It was a pamphlet. Oh, and we got a kitty visitor.
Oh,
look into my eyes. What a cutie.
Hey, sweet.
The Pan American Highway, Professor, the longest contiguous highway in the world, extends from Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, to Ushuaia in what country?
Argentina?
It's Argentina, yeah. It's all the way from A to A, apparently, huh?
Really?
Yep.
Does it say how long it is?
You know, I'm going to double check here real quick. It actually does not. And there is a comment that's amusing. It doesn't say how long it is. But it says this does not count for the break because apparently Columbia doesn't want to pay for part of the road. And so there's just a stop and then a rainforest and then it picks up again. So maybe not as contiguous as we thought, huh?
And there are parts of it that are not in very good shape, yes. Too.
Well, it's been long enough, right, Jim? They need some repair.
Have you guys ever seen that one from like the tip of Africa to like Russia? I think it's like the longest drivable road.
Really?
Oh, I read something about that just recently. Yeah.
It'd be interesting, but you'd be going through some pretty scary countries. That's all.
Yes, very much so. Most of us the world over know of Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare. Who are the two adolescent stars that were the headliners in Franco Zeffirelli's 1968 film?
Leonard Whiting and Olivia Hussey.
That's right. Exactly. It says Leonard Whiting and Olivia Hussey, respectively. Romeo and Juliet. So we've got all the dots covered.
One of those lines. I mean,
well, it could be two boys because, as we know,
yes, the girl absolutely parts would have been played by,
unless they pretended to be boys, teen girls. But that's a whole other movie.
Yep.
Victor Victoria is that
right? There you go. Sadly, just because it's a little bit disturbing, it says here during film production where they were making the movie in Italy, caterers had set up a lunch or dinner of pasta. And at one point, Zeffirelli became concerned for Olivia Hussey's figure and had a rider added to her contract where she was not allowed to eat pasta while they were filming.
Oh, good grief.
You've got to be kidding me.
She was beautiful.
How much pasta could she have eaten during the filming of that thing that it would have affected it?
We don't even care of answering that question. Like anybody that stops you from eating delicious food, I mean, come on.
Oh,
it's an arrestable offense.
Special level of hell reserved for people who prevent other people from eating pasta.
Seriously.
Right.
When and where, so we'll do year and location, was the first KOA campground established?
1938. And I have no idea.
I'm going to say 28.
You know, it was way after both of those years.
All right. 62.
It was 1962.
Somewhere in the south.
Yep.
And what were you saying, Heather?
Somewhere in the south.
No, actually, it was somewhere in the far north, but not.
I was going to say Wisconsin,
Minnesota,
Montana.
It says here it was established 1962, Billings, Montana.
Mm.
Very interesting.
I have family in Montana.
It's a fun place. That is Big Sky right there.
Open for camping 3 weeks out of the year.
Natalie's asking us to break down what's wrong with this sentence. Baby carrots are carrots plucked from the ground during early stages of growth.
Well, some baby carrots are, but most of the ones you see in the store are actually big carrots that have been, they're regular size carrots that have been cut.
That's right. That's exactly correct.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a baby carrot.
I mean, there
are. Oh, I was thinking more like grammatically. What was wrong with the sentence?
We haven't read the answer yet, Dan. I mean, you know, Matt could have covered it all up, too. So, I mean.
What, Heather? Were you thinking the same thing?
Yeah, I was. Thinking of something grammatical.
Then I realized grammatically the sentence seemed okay.
Yeah, the hyphen and the umlaut came in handy.
Oh, my gosh. So funny.
Especially the umlaut.
Let's see if you all can cast your line into this sort of wide swath of a question. For approximately every 60 minutes on average, Yellowstone's legendary geyser Old Faithful expels how many gallons of water per hour?
1,000.
It's in the thousands. It's in the thousands.
40,000.
But it's not that many thousands.
Where's Kendra?
8,400.
I'm going to completely freak out at this point. It says the low, depending on the season, is about 3,700. But the high, depending on the season, is exactly 8,400 gallons of water.
That's funny.
Wow.
Pretty freaky stuff. Pretty freaky stuff there. Thanks, Dan. And thanks, Natalie, for sending us those questions. Those were fantastic. You always have a lot of background information, and we just love them. Thanks for sending them in.
And more, please.
Yeah. Let's take a look at, I think you remember, we have recast the favorites list. The Burroughs family wants to call it the Imponderables. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
Today we're going to be doing, what is your favorite chain restaurant? I'll help us all out because I got to see this ahead of time. And we don't have that many of them in Michigan, and a large number of them came in a few years ago and now have closed. But I got pretty hardcore addicted to Steak and Shake in East Central Illinois. And I can't live without one of them Frisco melts. And now there is not even one close to us. So kind of sad.
Well, I assume this isn't a fast food chain. I mean,
doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I mean, what, like Olive Garden's still, you know, Red Lobster.
Actually, Olive Garden is what I was going to say. As
I was going to say, well,
outside the realm of fast food.
Yeah, I really like Outback Steakhouse, but I think Maggiano's is my favorite.
Maggiano's is pretty good Italian, I got to say.
I was going to get down and dirty with Five Guys.
Five Guys, of course. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't like a giant sack full of fries? I mean, let's be serious.
Yeah, hungry. Steven, what about you guys?
Yeah, Dan.
Steven?
I'm not a big fan of chain. I don't like chain restaurants, but I guess some of the things, ones you mentioned, I like Maggiano's. I've been to. It's okay. It's good.
Okay.
Dan, I'd rather because of the quality of food. I just prefer to patronize like local mom and pop shops.
Say like one, you know, God rest his soul. What about like a Matt Prentice restaurant? You know,
yeah, he passed away. You know that?
Yes, that's right.
Like Cabrera's is not too bad. Mm-hmm. Their food's not too bad. Five Guys, their burgers are good, but I don't eat a lot of burgers. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you a great answer.
No, that's okay. How about you, Stephen?
I might have picked Andiamo, although I had an unusually wonderful experience the time I went to an Andiamo's, but I wasn't sure it was a chain.
I think if you've got multiple locations and at least one of them is out of state, that probably qualifies as a chain.
How many are there?
There's less than there were before the pandemic. I know
right.
that,
unfortunately. Yeah.
One Royal Oak closed because of the parking situation in the back.
That's right.
And then there's one in the Rensen, which
was pretty good. Yeah. There's one out on the east side.
There's the 14 mile with the showroom.
The one on Telegraph.
I'm really hungry now.
The moment that Heather brought it up, I figured like if Leslie's listening in from upstairs, they had a dessert during the 90s, early 90s that they called the Kit Kat, which they couldn't really because it's a trademark. But it was like a giant Kit Kat. But the filling was ice cream. And we would go there just for that. And I'm not sure if they have it anymore. But that was, I've got to say, that was pretty good. People just like Kit Kats. I don't know what it is.
They're yummy.
They're good.
Can't go wrong.
Chocolate and crunchy.
Yeah. Right. When are we going to talk about favorite candy bars?
It's a little bit further down the imponderables list.
Like a Nestle's Crunch. That's one of the reasons Nestle Crunch bars are so yummy.
Yeah,
you can't see the paper, but it's a long list, so we've got lots to get through this summer.
Okay.
Unfortunately, profs, we've reached the end of our episode, so the time has come to say goodbye, Stephen.
Bye. See you next week.
Dan. No,
we won't see you next week.
Goodbye. See you in the summer.
Heather.
Bye-bye.
Beth.
I have to go eat something now.
Jim.
Auf Wiedersehen.
And Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.